All right, if you'll take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Just going to read a few verses that we're going to focus in on this morning. John chapter 16, verses 12 through verse 15. John 16, 12 through 15. Of course, we know that this is the discourse that Jesus started in the upper room. They've now left the upper room and they're walking and they're heading towards Gethsemane. And Jesus is continuing to teach them, to share with them as disciples, these very fearful and questioning disciples about their future. What's going to happen? And he says in John 16, verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures and how they give us the light for a path that could be very dark and is very dark in this world without that light. And we pray today that you would open our hearts and our minds and our spiritual eyes to how the Spirit works in our life, how important the Holy Spirit is in our life. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We started this series saying that we as evangelical Christians here at BPC tend to probably do what like a lot of evangelical Christians, and we take the Holy Spirit, third person in the Trinity, and we know him, we love him as God, but we put him off to the side because we're frightened. Or we're just not sure what to do with him. And there are many reasons for that, and one of the reasons I think we need to think of this week is that we're afraid that if we build this right relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're afraid of what he might do in and through us. It could really change our lives if we have a right and full relationship with the Holy Spirit. It becomes a little bit scary when we think he may do a transformational work in our lives. First of all, he transformed us when we came to faith in Christ, and now he's waiting for us to give him permission to transform our walk with him, our spiritual lives, in such a way that we will become more like Christ. We talk a good talk often, but the real measure of the talk is the walk. And I let you know that this is something that has become very important to me, that I have this deep and abiding relationship with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, because I want him to do a great and mighty work in me. Proverbs 4:13, a scripture for us as we start this morning, says this: Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs 4:13. April of 2011, there was some tremendous tornadoes that ripped through an area in Alabama. And there was a family named the Hardy family whose home was right in the path of an oncoming tornado. They had nowhere to go. It was too late. They left it too long. They couldn't get out of the area. So they started to look around their property. They had a shed. It wasn't any good. The house was an old, old house. And they knew if the tornado hit that house, it would not stand after. So they took their two little children and they went into a wooded area, took some rope. They tied the rope around their children and then tied the rope around a tree. And they clung to each other and that rope around those trees as the tornado whipped right through and destroyed their home, the shed, and everything. And as tornadoes do come and go, it came quickly and it left quickly. And for them, they were fortunate. God had blessed them with their lives for that day. They came away with scratches and bruises, but it was because they had tied their rope and held firmly onto that tree, grasped it with all they could, that they were saved from being swept away by that tornado. And I ask you, family, friends, brothers and sisters. This world that we live in is a tornado of a world, is it not? Each and every week, things come and go that could destroy you, could tear you out of the foundation of your lives. Health issues, financial issues, job issues, all kinds of issues that could rip you away from the place of concrete firmness, of being standing strong. What do you hold on to each and every week when these things hit you and beat you? Well, I think in our scripture this morning, we see another work of the Holy Spirit, another aspect of the Holy Spirit's work that is absolutely critical for us to understand. It tells us that he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Holy Spirit of truth comes, I love that phrase, the Spirit of truth. In this world, we will have troubles, we are told. The only way that those troubles will ever be managed is if we know truth. If we know what to grab onto, what to hold onto that is solid. And that is, as we as Bible-believing Christians know, is the truth of God's Word. We discover today that how important it is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit because He is the Spirit of truth. We understand, we discover that the teachings of the apostles came through the Holy Spirit illuminating and bringing to remembrance all the things that Jesus taught and said. And then from that point on, the Holy Spirit illuminated and helped the apostles to write all of that down so that we would have a sure message, something that we could cling to and hold on to and know that no matter what storm rages around us, we're going to be all right. Yeah, we might get battered and bruised a little bit by this world, but we know that the firm foundation is found in the truth of God's Word. So Jesus continues to tell his disciples as he's walking on his way to Gethsemane, the advantage of him returning to the Father. He says, you should rejoice in this because I'm going to send someone to you who will be your helper. He'll be the one to come alongside. And he's going to minister to your life through one very clear and absolute way, and that's through the Word of God, the truth that is found in the Word of God. And there's so much Jesus wanted to tell his disciples, but it was too much to bear. Too much to bear. He said, they couldn't, that word bear has a sense of, they couldn't cognitively accept it. They, as we might say it today, couldn't wrap their heads around it. They needed time. They needed more growth, believe it or not. Even 3.5 years with Jesus, they needed time and the Holy Spirit's work in their lives so that they could get all that Jesus had taught them. And for us today, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can't understand a word, really, of what God is trying to teach. We need the Spirit of God in our hearts, in our lives. It's His work that strengthens us. It's His Word that ignites in our lives the vision and the focus for our lives and where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do. And so he says, you can't bear it. It's too much. You need the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Notice in verse 13, he says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. But listen to what it says as it concludes. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. It's interesting how the Godhead works. These three individual persons, yet one, work together in absolute harmony. Do you love synchronized swimming? Isn't it wonderful? I often thought of taking that up when I was in high school. Not really. No, I didn't. Not at all. It looks kind of silly to me. But those ladies, they love doing it. It's great. If you think you've seen the best synchronization in the world through swimming or through other athletics, it's wonderful to see when things are working in perfect harmony. Well, there's no better. The final example of perfect synchronization is the Trinity, the Godhead, working together, for his ultimate purpose, and that is to see the kingdom of God develop here. And one day, we all who have trusted Christ, to look to the Godhead and be worshiping them in unity and in faith. That's what synchronization is all about. The Spirit of Truth. A few years back, and it's become quite popular now again, Star Wars started. How many are Star Wars fans? Yeah. All the young at heart right here. We love Star Wars. I was a huge Star Wars fan. And I remember the big line is when Luke was struggling with the situation, and all of a sudden he hears in his head, you say it with me, Luke, use the Force. Ooh, remember that? That stirred up such a controversy in the church. And there were churches that were banning their members from going to see the movie because it was really talking about this universal energy that somebody could tap into. And they could do amazing things if you would only use the Force, Luke. And we know that's not true. But God said, if you allow the Spirit to work through you, you will do amazing things. If you allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life, where you step out of the way of the Holy Spirit and let Him move you along, you will do great things in life. And not only that, the Spirit of God is a person. He is not some force or power. He is a personal being with a clear and separate conscience from the Godhead. And He is one who was given to us, lives and dwells within us, so that we might have the power to live mighty lives for Christ here and now. That's the Spirit of Truth. And how does He do that? He does it through the Word of God. The Spirit of God, not the force of God, the person of God, uses the words of God to make you powerful and efficient in building His kingdom. He says that He is to guide us, for He will guide you into all the truth. That word guiding means leading the way. It's the Spirit of God who's out front. It's the Spirit of God who says, come, follow me. That's why Paul in Galatians tells us to keep in step with the Spirit. We got to just stay in step with the Spirit, because He's leading the way. He is the motivational person that says, if you will just keep in step with me, you will do great things for God. The good thing to know about this is the Spirit of God does not drive. He does not compel. He is not forcing us to do His leading. But He's asking us to work in one of my old pastors said, a divine human cooperative. Can you get that? He says, if you will work with me, I will energize you and I will engage you in the right way, and you will do great things for God. That old mustard seed will become a powerful seed of faith, and things will go beyond what we could ever imagine if we will just keep in step with the Spirit. But then again, you can refuse His leadership too. You can say, I know you're there and I trust you to help me through the day, but in reality, you really don't follow His lead. You don't keep in step with Him. And yet, if we will just let the Spirit of God do what He wants to do in our lives, it will be great. It will be amazing. But we can't just assume that He'll work without an active engagement of the mind and the heart. You've got to engage in that relationship every day. Anybody ever come into Toronto Harbor on a ship, on a boat of any type? Anybody been out there and come in? Well, I have, on a little sailboat, little 34-foot CNC sailboat. I used to pull the ropes on the boat while my friend raced the boat. I thought I was racing, but I just pulled the ropes. But one of the things that I enjoyed is after the race, coming back in, and there's this little narrow spots that you have to carefully guide your boat into. And one day he said to me, it's your turn. I had barely ever steered the ship out in open water, nonetheless, to come through this little narrow. And I said, I can't do it. I haven't done it before. You'll do it fine. Here's the fun part. I figured that I'd be at the helm and he'd be right beside me. Oh no. He went up to the front of the boat and started fixing a sail at the front. I said, am I doing all right? And he pretended like he didn't hear me. And I'm shaking, literally, guiding it through this little passageway into the area where you dock your boat. I hated that. I did it, but I was not very confident. As a matter of fact, when it comes to maritime law, when you come into a harbor of significance and these large vessels that carry goods and freight and all that, you have to have a harbor pilot. Someone who knows the waters as an expert, only as someone locally could know those waters. Those harbor pilots are, by marine law, they have to be someone not associated with the docks where they're going to go or with the ship that is coming in. They are totally separate so that they will make decisions based on what they feel is right, not about any economics or any other decisions. And those people are brought on board when they're out in open water and they guide that boat right into the mooring area. Well, folks, we're going through some very difficult waters in life, aren't we? We have to go to work every day and deal with difficult people. We have to manage difficult relationships. We have to deal with, as if prayed, sometimes our finances don't seem to meet the end of the month. And we need help. The Holy Spirit is our harbor pilot. We need to give Him the steering of our life. We need to let Him be the one who guides us into those unfamiliar areas and let Him take us to those places where we can moor with safety. But if we refuse, if we don't let Him take the helm of our lives, then we will hit sandbars and low areas. We will maybe even run aground in our lives. But I can promise you that if we let Him, the Holy Spirit, guide us, He will take us through those narrow passageways with great safety. Well, it says that He will not speak on His own authority. I like this. This is a continuation of the theme that Jesus brought. Jesus said, I am the Father and one, and He came, and that Jesus came on the behest of the Father. And that He listened to what the Father wanted Him to do. As a matter of fact, He emptied Himself. He set aside the use of all His Godhead, His power. And He trusted in a relationship with His Father to do what He was going to do on a daily basis. And now, as Jesus leaves and He says, I'm going to leave you the Helper, He says, the Helper will not speak on His own authority, but He will say things that I want Him to say. In other words, this teacher, this Helper, is going to be the continuing ministry of Jesus in our lives. As Jesus taught the disciples, He said, there's more that you need. You can't bear it right now, but I'm going to send someone. God Himself will dwell within you, and He will continue my teaching ministry. It will be that I am with you through the Holy Spirit. And the key here is, key folks, is to remember that to knowing God deeply and personally, of having a real relationship with Him, we need to know and have a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. You really want to know Jesus? Then really get to be open to the Holy Spirit working in your life. And it's through His revealing work that we're able to look at God, to look at Christ, and really know who they are, who He is. I love how Ezekiel 39 says it. It says, I will not hide my face anymore from them, God says. When I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord. When I pour out my spirit. Even in the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God did not indwell men, but empowered men and women, it was all about the Holy Spirit. And when I pour out my spirit on them. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn to a passage that complements this section very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another great passage to sort of contemplate how important a relationship with the Spirit of God is in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I knew I was going to do that all morning because I kept mixing it up in my head. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here we go. Verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Isaiah 64, by the way, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen up, this is really great here. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now you've heard this before, you've read this, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, or foolishness, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I love this complementary passage to what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching us that we will never understand the deep things of God unless we have the Spirit of God dwelling within him. And it says here in verse 9, what God has prepared for those who love him. Who loves God? Those who have put their faith and trust in God's plan, that is in Christ. Verse 10 in this 1 Corinthians passage. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God within you. It talks about the natural person. And the things of God are like foolishness or folly to him. That word depth, by the way, is the word bathos. That's the word we get, the deep of the ocean, the bathysphere. And it talks about those places that it's impossible to go to because they're so deep. Also, this word natural person. What is the natural man? Who is the natural man? Natural man are those who have not received God's Spirit. Jude 19 is a great passage if you want to have a clear definition of who the natural man is. A natural man is simply one who has not put their faith and trust in Christ. They are still tied to the ruler of this world. They are still led in their human spirit by the ruler of this world. But a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, who is no longer tied to them because they've been transformed by the Spirit of God indwelling them. Touched by the transforming work of the Spirit of God. Well, we see the importance of the Spirit of God in our life. He will guide us into truth and into all truth. But also, he will glorify Christ through declaration of him. Do you know what the number one job for the Spirit of Christ is? The Holy Spirit? See Jesus glorified. Why does he indwell us? Well, so that we'd be transformed, but ultimately for the purpose that he will glorify Christ, Jesus, through us. That's his number one work. If we are not in step with the Holy Spirit, we are not in step with glorifying Jesus. When we're out of step with the Holy Spirit, we cannot fully and truly give glory to Jesus, who deserves all the glory. The Spirit works to place Jesus before the eyes and hearts of men, to make the person and work of Jesus Christ shine forth in all his excellencies. And how does that work? Through us. To reveal is necessary to glorify. So therefore, are you today a clear and personal revelation of the glory of Christ? So wondrous, so noble, so radiant is our Lord, that to make him known is to glorify him. And therefore, if you are not living out Christ in a way that demonstrates you've been transformed, you're not glorifying Christ. If you are not speaking to people about Jesus, you are not glorifying Christ. And so I encourage you, it's not just through what we do, it's through what we say as well. Well, the Spirit takes what is Christ and reveals it to us. So important. The Spirit didn't come to erect or build up a new kingdom. He came to help the kingdom that Christ established to continue and to grow and to glorify Christ. The Spirit will never do anything in contrast to what Jesus began in his life. He will only continue its development. So the Spirit is here to reveal. How many of you were in your elementary school play? Did you have a play in elementary school? Rudy, you were, eh? Yeah, I bet you were an amazing actor. But do you remember watching some of your kids maybe in the elementary school plays? It's so fun. You know, some of the kids are just doing their thing and they're trying to say their lines. But you usually have one or two or three or four people, little kids, who have the main lines. Do you ever remember, and I remember hearing this, a little voice from off stage? It usually came when one of the kids couldn't quite remember their lines. And somebody, more likely the teacher, was off stage just saying the lines that were spoken. So for example, to be or not to be. Oh yeah, oh yeah. To be or not to be. That's how it worked. A teacher or someone was just off stage, and they were called the prompter. They were the one to prompt them with their lines when they struggled to remember. I can tell you this much. The Spirit of God is my prompter, is our prompter. When we need to be reminded where the narrow path is, he's saying, no, no, not that way, this way. He's prompting us when we're with somebody to say, just talk to them. Get to know them. And when there's a possibility to share Christ, I'm going to let you know and you can take that opportunity. The Spirit of God is the one who reveals to us all the truth of God and enables us to then reveal that truth to others in the world that we live in. Isn't it great? We have not been left on our own. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you the helper, the one who will prompt you when you need the help. And that centers us all around the truth of God's word. The word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses to prompt us. How important is God's word to us? How important should it be to us? God's word should be everything to us. Because when we need to be prompted, when we need to be reminded where the straight and narrow path is, it's the word of God that's going to help us to understand that. It is going to be the Spirit of God using the word of God. And it's that truthfulness that we have an understanding of Jesus. Every word that Jesus spoke, we knew was absolutely truthful. Therefore, every word that comes out of the scriptures is the word of Christ, the word of God himself, and we can trust it. Our belief in this book is absolutely true and absolutely trustworthy, is absolutely of the highest importance to the believer. C.S. Lewis said something famous, and it never has left me. That great writer, C.S. Lewis, said, either Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord. And so if I believe that he was Lord, then his words both that have come out of the Spirit working in the Old Testament, or his words that have come through the Spirit working in the New Testament writing, are trustworthy. I can bank my life on these words. The spiritual blessings of my life have always come out of a significant relationship with the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. So I pray today that as you contemplate the Holy Spirit once again, to remember that Jesus gave us the Helper, first and foremost, to transform our dead lives into living spiritual beings. And then secondly, to use His Word to transform our lives to resemble Christ's life, to help us to stay on the straight and narrow. So I pray that today you would not be afraid of a growing and deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will change your life. You will not be the same person next year as you were this year if this year becomes a steadily growing, keeping in step walk with the Holy Spirit. But I can promise you, no matter what's going on in your life, you'll be able to manage. You'll be able to walk through it because you're not alone, because you're keeping in step with the Spirit. This is my prayer for you and for us. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. It truly is the light of our lives, the rock in which we can hold on to in the midst of all kinds of storms. And so we pray today that we would grow in love with your word more and more and more. And as we're doing that, we're growing in a deeper relationship with your Holy Spirit. May we know him deeply and personally, and may he work in us in a way that transforms us each and every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.